Hey, you want that to go?
So it's time for some quick takeouts on stories we're following this week. And we're going to go first to our Supreme Court reporter, Louise Story, from the New York Times. Louise, you report about business, but today you're talking about the Supreme Court. What is the Supreme Court doing talking about mutual funds?
Well, they're talking about compensation. So that's how I get interested because, you know, we're always talking about how should you pay people on Wall Street right now. It's a very hot issue. But they were looking at mutual funds, which is a very important area because, you know, a lot of us have money in mutual funds. And they were looking at fees that the people who manage mutual funds pay and whether they're too high. There's a 1970 law about this. It says, at some point, can fees be so high that it breaches your fiduciary duty to help people have a good return? Right. And on appeal, the court in Chicago had said, well, leave it up to the marketplace. People can figure it out. But the Supreme Court said, we need to look at this law and figure out if at some point, these are too high. So they're really looking at a sense of fairness and responsibility, which could have broad-ranging effects.
And how did the arguments go? Did we get any sense about how which way they're going to weigh in?
Well, no. All we know is that they very clearly said, both sides said, that the argument that you should leave it up to the marketplace is not right here. That we need to look at this law. We need to look at how high is too high. And this is really different from what we're seeing among regulators with the banks. So the other thing that was going on is we were all, you know, all the reporters who I sit with, we were watching this meeting that the Fed was having with banks about compensation. But the reason this Supreme Court situation is very different is the Supreme Court is focused on fairness of fees and how much you should charge people, whereas the Fed is focused only on risk. Is the pay we're paying on Wall Street so high it'll cause risky behavior that they will bring our system again down? Not about fairness. And so we're all sitting around waiting for this meeting to end at the Fed. It was very momentous. They had all the CEOs there, a bunch of people from the boards. And then we get on the phone afterwards. We call people and they say, yeah, it was 7 minutes long. It was very non-eventful.
Slap on the wrist.
It seems like it was very non-eventful. But one of the funny things, too, is a lot of the people who went from the boards of directors of these banks were people who have been criticized for their own pay. So, for instance, J.P. Morgan, they had one of their members of the board go, Lee Raymond, who used to be the CEO of Exxon. And when he retired from Exxon, he got a $400 million retirement package. So this is the kind of person that's helping to advise on comp at J.P. Morgan. Well, I hope he can live on it. Could you live on that?
I don't know.
Okay, Louise Story is our finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times.
Todd Zwillick couldn't live on $400 million in Washington. No takeaways, Washington correspondent. So let's talk about climate change. It was a huge campaign issue a year ago when Barack Obama was running. But the fight is being led on Capitol Hill by Barbara Boxer. And this seems to be a story of Barbara Boxer on climate change versus the rest of the Senate, even including some of her Democratic colleagues. What's going on with climate change and Barbara Boxer?
Well, Barbara Boxer can be one of the most fiercely partisan members of the Senate, John. Good morning, by the way.
Good morning, bud.
You remember how partisan and nasty health care got in the town halls in August. Well, that dynamic has sort of moved to the halls of the Senate right now. Senator Boxer's climate bill, which is, of course, cap and trade, capping carbon emissions by the year 2050, is going into a markup in her environment committee. She's the chairman. It's supposed to be going in today. But Republicans are boycotting this meeting today. They're not showing up. They say that Boxer has not been forthcoming with the details of the bill. They have not had time to analyze truly what the bill would do to the economy, to American industry, not to mention to the environment and to taxpayers. So if they don't show up, that could prevent her, under the rules, it's a little unclear, from having a vote. She would have to circumvent some committee rules to ram this bill through. So now the question is, will Republicans show up at all? Here's Senator Frank Lautenberg. He's a liberal Democrat and a member of the committee.
Their behavior challenges everything that we're about here. If you don't like it, turn your back and walk out. It's almost like school children over there. I'm not quite as gracious as Barbara Boxer might be. I think that we have to tell it like it is.
Okay, that's one frustrated Democrat, but the Republicans sound like they actually might want this to come to the floor, right?
Well, they actually do not want it to come to the floor. They want this confrontation to come to pass. Boxer yesterday shifted gears a little bit. She went from bad cop to Good Cop, she said, well, we'll make the markup go slower. We'll suspend it for hours. We'll let Republicans come and ask as many questions as they want of some EPA people we're bringing in. I'll extend the deadline for their amendments. I'm being patient. I really want them to participate. So now the question is, how long will Barbara Boxer remain the good cop and shift back to bad cop with her friend against her friend, Republican James Inhofe, who's the ranking member, her old nemesis on the Environment Committee? Here's Inhofe.
I hope she tries to do this in some way, whether you call it a nuclear option or whatever you might call it, because I think that's going to be very bad. It's not looked upon favorably by the public. And I think that if she does it, let her go ahead and do it. They don't have the votes anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Well, it sounds like a little opportunism there. The Republicans would love to use this bill as an issue to skewer the Democrats in any case. Todd Zwillick, Capitol Hill correspondent for The Takeaway. Thanks, Todd.
And finally to sports with Takeaway Sports contributor Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. And when you're in the World Series, it looks like the championship ring is your main goal.
The bottom line is to win the game, however you need to do it. Whether it's hitting, pitching, defense, it doesn't really matter who steps up. It's just a matter of when and how.
And that's Philadelphia's second baseman, Chase Utley. So, Ibrahim, it looks like the people who stepped up was the Phillies last night.
Yes, and they did. They won 8-6 in Philadelphia. And the question is, Cliff Lee pitched an impressive game.
He's unbelievable.
He's doing his best impersonation of Sandy Koufax, like we just said. But the question is, who's a bigger hero for the Phillies than second baseman Chase Utley, who we just heard from?
A 3-run homer in, the first inning?
And he put them up for good. He put them up, and then he tacked on a late home run. And these are not just little piddly home runs that are just going over the wall. These are monster home runs that he's getting all of the bat on. But the thing about him is that he's like this. His hair is slicked back. He never smiles. He's always grimacing. He's like the good-looking Terminator in Terminator 3, where he's just out to kill and out to destroy at every single moment.
And he sounds half asleep when he's talking about getting 5 home runs in the series.
I think as a Yankee fan, the only thing I would want to see is them win something just to see him smile.
Yeah. The good-looking Terminator.
That's right. What would make him smile?
I think... When he just tied Reggie Jackson for the number of 5 home runs in a World Series,
right?
And that was made by Reggie Jackson in 1977.
Yeah.
So I think he's waiting to go back to the Bronx to break that record, and I think that's something to look for. Is Chase Utley? He's been a Yankee killer. He's been abusing the ace. Well, yeah, so then he would be a Jackson killer. So,
wow.
Yeah, so that's amazing. And on the flip side, Ryan Howard, who came in with a record number of RBIs, has 12 strikeouts in the World Series, which ties a strikeout record.
Yeah, he's not having a fun time.
We're going to see the next game on Wednesday with the Philadelphia Phillies coming to New York, and we'll see how that works with the Martinez pitching.
Yeah, with the revenge of Pedro Martinez.
Absolutely. We'll see. Thanks so much. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen is a Takeaway Sports contributor.
Good morning.